last week we have a beautiful meditation on Radio 37, February 6th. That's the cream of the whole diary. Today the Lord said to me, "My daughter, I'm told that there is much simplicity in you. So why do you not tell me about everything that concerns you, even the smallest details? Tell me about everything, and know that this will give me great joy." Jesus himself is a lover. He wants to know everything from us, to share with him. He's waiting. We just keep our mouth shut, thinking everything he knows. Then Faustina replied, "I answered, but you know about everything, Lord." The Lord says, "Yes, I do know. But you should not excuse yourself with the fact that I know, but with childlike simplicity, talk to me about everything. For my ears and my heart are inclined towards you, and the words are dear to me." So it's not only for Saint Faustina, for you too. Don't think Jesus has special love for Faustina. Of course, because Faustina loved so much, that's a response from Jesus. If you love the same way as Faustina, Jesus the same way. Right? Do you agree, sister? Do you agree? Agree exactly, eh? Jesus won't give preference or this or that. If your heart's open, just go. Many times you just, "I'm not Faustina. This is not my concern. That's her business." Many times you think this. You do agree or not exactly, eh? Jesus is very equal, sometimes indifferent. Depends on how you respond. Okay. "When I began this new novena for three intentions, I saw a tiny insect on the ground and thought, how did it get here in the middle of winter? Then I heard the following words in my soul. You see, I'm thinking of it and sustaining it. And what is compared to you? Why was I so fearful for a moment? Even little insect, God look after them. Let not them net outside the snow." It's just a small thing for Faustina. It's inspiration. Little insects here, it's protected. So much so. And then the question is, why are you fearful? I apologize to the Lord for that moment. Jesus wants me to always be a child and to leave all care to him and to submit blindly to his holy will. He took everything upon himself. Jesus carrying our cross. In fact, his cross is our cross. Right? February 7, 1937. Today, the Lord said to me, "I demand of you a perfect and whole burnt offering, an offering of the will. No other sacrifice can compare with this one. I myself am directing your life and arranging things in such a way that you will be for me a continual sacrifice and will always do my will." Sacrifice and doing the will of God. "And for the accomplishment of this offering, you will unite yourself with me on the cross." See, follow Jesus. It's a hard way. On the cross. I know what you can do. I myself will give you many orders directly, but I would deny the possibility of their being carried out and make it depend on others. But what the superiors will not manage to do, I myself will accomplish directly in your soul. In the most hidden depths of the soul, a perfect holocaust will be carried out, not just for a while, but no, my daughter, that this offering will last until your death. The carrying of the cross until her death. That means to say, humanly speaking, hardest way. We want peace, joy, light, fresh. We feel ourselves stale, no light, no breath. That's the moment of the cross. Jesus cried out on the cross, "God, God, why have you forsaken me?" So sometimes when we feel this forsakenness by the Lord, you're close to the Lord. You are with him. So these words for us. So don't dream that like Faustina, everything in paradise. Until her death, she is on the cross. But there is time so that I, the Lord, will fulfill all your wishes. I delight in you as in a living host. Let nothing terrify you. I'm with you. So let your host, Jesus, complete present in the host. We are the host. Jesus complete present in us. It's just we don't see Christ in the host. It's we don't see Christ in others. But Jesus lives in each other. That's why Jesus, whatever you do to the least, you do to me. Jesus is present in each person. That's very difficult to understand. Eh? Many times I ask why he or she is so bad, and how can Jesus be present there? Today I receive a note from Mother Superior forbidding me to go to the bedside of the dying. Maybe he prays so hard, so long, and herself is so weak, so stop her to go to the dying person. And so I will send to the dying obedience in place of self. She cannot go, but by obedience she go there just by spirit, and it will support the souls who are dying. Such is God's will, and that's enough for me. So many times we can have people in the hospital. You cannot do everywhere, but you suffer in the place where you are, cooking, cleaning, all these things. With the intention, that's the will of God the Father for you in that moment. It's not that you'll be the hospital. But you pray. Special people in the Philippines, friends, relatives. So then at times you might heard some news about them, and you cannot to help, you can't do much to help them. Do by obedience the will of God, do it well. Just the same way you fly back to Philippines, to the bedside, and say the Chapel of Divine Mercy. You say the Chapel of Divine Mercy at the bedside for her or for him. No? Such is God's will, and that's enough for me. That which I cannot understand now, I will learn later. She knows these things, but you know, humanly speaking, many things we know, but how come? So she said, "Well, okay, don't worry, I will understand later." You know, this is some inspiration from Jesus for her. So even her, she write down these things. Very simple girl, eh? I don't know what happened. Anyway, I will know it later. February 7, 1937. Today, I pray more fervently than ever for the Holy Father. That's Pius XI. And three priests, that God would inspire them as to what He is asking of me for the realization of this depends on them. So, for divine mercy. Eh? Oh, how happy I am that the Holy Father's health is improving. Today I heard him addressing the Eucharistic Congress. I went there in spirit to receive the apostolic blessing by Lucas. She's present in Rome. Interesting, eh? Not the first time, eh? Another time, remember, she was in the Mass in Vatican with the Pope. At the same time, she has Mass in a chapel, two places by Lucas. February 9th, 1937. Struve, Tuesday, the day of cleaning the snow. During the last 2 days of the carnival, I experienced the overwhelming flood of chastisements and sins. In one instant, the Lord gave me a knowledge of the sins committed throughout the whole world during these days. A kind of festival. I fainted from fright. Even though I know the depths of God's mercy, I was surprised that God allows humanity to exist. So much sin, and God still allows us to exist. And the Lord gave me to know who it is that upholds the existence of mankind. It's the chosen souls. She's one of them. She's the one who pray for the world, and so the world can exist. When the number of the chosen one is complete, the world will cease to exist. On these 2 days, I receive Holy Communion as an act of reparation. And I said to the Lord, Jesus, I offer everything today for sinners. Let the blows of your justice fall on me, and the sea of your mercy engulf the poor sinners. She took the blame and let the mercy of God. And the Lord heard my prayer. Many souls returned to the Lord. But I was in agony under the yoke of God's justice. Someone's being healed and she suffered more. I felt I was the object of the anger of the Most High God. By evening, my sufferings had reached such a state of interior desolation that moans welled up involuntarily from my breast. I locked the door of my room and began an adoration, that's to say, a holy hour. Interior desolation, an experience of God's justice, that was my prayer. And the moans and pain that swelled up from my soul took the place of a sweet conversations with the Lord. No more tears. Complete darkness. I think so. She cried. Eh? You can imagine. Can't help. For an hour, holy hour, in her bedside. She cannot go down to the chapel anytime she wants because it's a sanatorium. She's forbidden even to Mass. You know. Then suddenly, I saw the Lord who kept me to his heart and said to me, my daughter, do not weep, for I cannot bear your tears. So your tears can make Jesus move his heart. I will grant you everything you ask for, but stop crying. Jesus is really a lover. when the love of Christ, he don't know what to do. And I was filled with great joy, and my spirit, as usual, was drowned in him and in his only treasure. Today, encouraged by his kindness, I converse with Jesus at great length. So sometimes when you're in darkness, you try your prayer, but the prayer is a little bit short, you know. One way or another, humanly speaking, you go nowhere. But today, now she has the kind of experience of the present, the hugging of Jesus for her, with her, and so she spent more time. When I had rested near his sweetest heart, I told him, "Jesus, I have so much to tell you." The other day, Jesus asked, "Oh, don't tell me anything, don't tell me anything." Now, she says, "I have many things to tell you." And the Lord said to me with great mouth, "Speak, my daughter." And I started to enumerate the pains of my heart. That is, how greatly concerned I am for all mankind, that they all do not know you. And those who do know you do not love you as you deserve to be loved. Either they don't know him or don't love him. That hurts her heart. She's suffering. I also see how terribly sinners offend you. And then again, I see how severely the faithful, especially your servants, are oppressed and persecuted. And then too, I see many souls rushing headlong into the terrible abyss of hell. You see, Jesus, this is the pain that gnaws in my heart and bones. And although you saw my special love and inundate my heart with streams of your joys, nevertheless, this does not appease the sufferings I have just mentioned. Although she enjoyed the peace that is given by her back, but she's still suffering. I've seen so many sinners still going towards hell. She's really something. She's not selfish. No? She just thought enough. Oh, Jesus with me. Okay, I'm satisfied. Still, she's not satisfied because there's still so many sinners that are still going the other direction. I say again, and although you show me a special love and inundate my heart with streams of your joys, nevertheless, this does not appease the sufferings I have just mentioned, but rather they penetrate my poor heart and all the more acutely. Oh, how ardently I desire that all mankind turn with trust to your mercy. Then I, seeing the glory of your name, my heart will be comforted. So, she has the same heart of Jesus. Eh? She's not resting. Even when sin is still on earth, she's still headache. She's pain. Jesus listened to these outpourings on my heart with gravity and interest. And if he had known nothing about them, and this seemed to make it easier for me to talk, Jesus, not pretend, but Jesus, the kind of listening as if the first time hearing. Really? Really? It's so true? Jesus, you know, he's not pretending, but there's so much concern. I've so much enter into the conversation. Jesus put down her knowledge of anything. Just listen. I think we have to learn also during our conversation, especially time when we listen, we don't listen very much. We think of many other things, of the answers giving people before they say finishing, and already you have the answer to give out. That's not the point. Jesus doesn't do it. She, I don't think Jesus pretend, but that's her character. There's a quality of divine life completely for others. And the Lord said to me, "My daughter, those words of your heart are pleasing to me. And by seeing the shepherd, you are bringing mankind closer to me." So when, especially when things that you cannot do, we cannot have much. Even in Hong Kong, there's so many people still sleeping in the streets, young people. You know, we don't know how to make a conclusion for 2 months already. Jesus says, "Say the chaplain that you bring humankind closer to me." After these words, I found myself alone, but the presence of God is always in my soul. "Oh my Jesus, although I will go to you and you will fill me with yourself, and that you and that will make my happiness complete, I will nevertheless not forget about humanity. I decide to draw aside the veils of heaven so that the earth would have no doubts about the divine mercy. My response in proclaiming your mercy. The soul gives the greatest glory to its creator when it turns with trust to the divine mercy." February 10th. Today is Ash Wednesday. During Holy Mass, I felt for a short time the passion of Christ in my members. Lent is a very special time for the work of priests, which assist them in rescuing souls. A few days ago, I wrote to my director, probably Father Andres, asking permission for some little modifications during Lent. As I did not have the doctor's permission to go to town, I had to do this by letter. But Ash Wednesday is already here, and I still have no answer. This morning, after Holy Communion, I asked Jesus to inspire my director with his light so that he would answer me. And I knew in my soul the Father was not against my practicing these mortifications for which I had asked permission, and that he would give his permission. So in peace, I began to undertake these practices without the answer, presuming. That same afternoon, I received a letter from Father saying that he readily gives me permission to undertake those practices for which I had asked permission. I was very pleased that my interior knowledge was in agreement with my spiritual father's opinion. One step ahead. Then I heard the following words in my soul: "You will receive a greater reward for your obedience and subjection to your confessor than you will for the practices which you will be carrying out. Know that, my daughter, and act accordingly. Anything, no matter how small it be, that has the seal of obedience to my representative is pleasing to me and great in my eyes." Obedience. I have the inspiration, I do it. Small practices for Lent. Although I wish and decide to do so, I cannot practice big mortifications as before, because I'm under the strict surveillance of the doctor. But I can practice little things. First, sleep without pillow. Keep myself a little hungry. Fasting. Every day, with my arms outstretched. Tiring. Say the chaplet which the Lord taught me. So say the chaplet, divine mercy, outstretched hand. Did you ever try? Some people even say the rosary, outstretched hand, both hands, huh? Occasionally, with arms outstretched for an indefinite period of time, pray informally, even prayer, talk to Jesus, open arm. Intention, to beg divine mercy for poor sinners and for priests, the power to bring sinful hearts to repentance. My contact with the dying is, just as it has been in the past, very close. I often accompany a person who is dying far away, but my greatest joy is when I see the promise of mercy fulfilled in these souls. The Lord is faithful. What He once ordains, He fulfills. He said, whatever you before the dying people, He said, "Child, divine mercy." That kind of grace will go to the dying person and, you know, go back to the Father. That she said, just Jesus promised once, is promised. Sometimes we retract, but Jesus never. A certain person in our world was beginning to die. Amidst terrible tortures, she was dying for 3 days, sometimes regaining consciousness. Everyone in the ward was praying for her. I longed to go to her, but Mother Superior had forbidden me to go to visit the dying. So I prayed for the poor soul in my room. But when I heard that she was still in agony and there was no saying how long it was going to take, I suddenly inspired in my soul and said to the Lord, "Jesus, if all I do is pleasing to you, I ask you as evidence to let the soul stop suffering and pass on immediately to a happy eternity." A few minutes later, I heard that the person had passed away so peaceful and quickly that they did not even have time to light the candle. You know, the next room was she's praying. I still say words more about my spiritual director. Now, quotation, don't know whether it's Father Andres or Father Sopoko, there are two spiritual directors. It is strange that there are so many priests who know how to pour power, strength, and courage into a soul so that it can make constant progress without getting tired. Under such direction, a soul even of lesser strength can do much for the glory of God. And here I discovered a secret, namely, that the confessor, or rather the spiritual director, does not make light of the trifles and the soul brings to him. And when the soul notices that it is being controlled in this, it begins to exert itself and does not omit the slightest opportunity to practice virtue and also avoid smallest faults. And from these efforts, as with little stones, these rises within the soul a most beautiful temple. On the contrary, if the soul notices that the confessor neglects these little things, it likewise neglects them and ceases to give an account of them to the confessor, and worse still, will begin to grow negligence in little things. She was saying the confessor is very important. Now, I don't catch so much. There are so few priests who know how to pour power, strength, and courage into a soul so they can make constant progress without getting tired. Under such a direction, a soul even of lesser strength can do much for the glory of God. And he had discovered a secret, namely, that a confessor, or rather the spiritual director, does not make light of the trifles that the soul brings to him. Ah, so many times when you talk to the priest about symptoms, small things, but she said, even small things, if you take attention, can make the soul grow. Don't just, "Oh, come on, these little things, don't worry." you unless you are mortal sin, okay, absorb your sin. No, even smaller things. But because we are asked to be perfect, no? If God the Father is perfect. So this for Faustina is reflection is if the spiritual director give you even smaller things, they observe in you and give you the light, and you change the little things that make you great. Just I understand now. Thus, instead of going forward, it gradually retreats backward. If it was aware of the situation only when it has already fallen into some serious trouble. So many times we just look for the big things in you and okay, you do. But no, she said, little things, you don't care about it, you can grow. So stunning sometimes. Here, a serious question poses itself. Who is at fault? The soul in question or the confessor? That is to say, the director. It seems to me that all the blame should be on the imprudent director. Should put the blame on the priest, eh? The director is how to make a direction. You know, sometimes the person might have stupidity of doing all these stupid things. But you have to find out how stupid that is and make it be prudent. Wow. The soul's only fault is to have taken upon itself the choice of a director. The director could well have led the soul along the road of God's will to sanctity. No matter how small or big, it's important for the growth of the soul. Wow. It's a spiritual direction for us priests today. Very hard. Very difficult. Eternal Father,